Time for a look into our own backyard, more specifically what's going on in regional and rural Australia. For tonight's Country Drive, I'm joined by Clint Jasper, ABC rural reporter based in Victoria. Hi, Clint.
Hi, Patricia. I've just got back from a lovely country drive.
Of course you have, because you're living your best life.
Second time round.
Early on in the pandemic, we were told Australia's food supply was nothing to worry about. But what about the supplies farmers need to keep their operations going?
There were some big concerns right early on in the piece about things like agricultural chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, things like that go on crops. The seeding program was just getting underway. And then the second category was machine parts, which are already quite expensive, but a lot of them are manufactured and sold out of the US and Europe. And if you remember at that early part of the pandemic, the Australian dollar crashed against the US. So they were freaking out that a breakdown could cost lots of money and take a long time to resolve, just because the supply chain logistics were immensely slowed down. And in those US dollar terms, at least, they were a lot more expensive.
So why aren't things like chemicals and machine parts stockpiled at greater quantities?
For the same reason we don't really stockpile any of the things that ran out immediately.
All the other things.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make a lot of sense to keep vast quantities of glyphosate, for instance, warehoused in the event that something like this would happen. And so the whole architecture of the economy at the moment, everyone's moved to that just-in-time kind of model. Australia's lost its manufacturing of those kind of things. So yeah, it's what's happened in those supply chains is no different to what we saw in things like toilet paper, flour and pasta.
Is self-reliance actually feasible for Aussie farmers, or is it too expensive to source equipment and resources from our own country, from our own backyard?
I don't think we'd want to be self-sufficient in every single thing. It would make some of those chemicals really expensive, much more expensive than they are now. And one of the things that farmers complain about a lot already is that Australia is a high-cost country to produce food and fibre in. So thankfully, I feel like a lot of people have pulled through. They've made it through. I was just out in the Mallee this afternoon. The sprayers are going around the paddock. The crop got in the ground. So there hasn't been too much of an upset for this. I think it's more just the uncertainty that it creates. So we've pulled through this time, just like we all managed to pull through with the TP situation.
Let's move to another story. Grain tariffs have been a sore point for Australian producers this year, with China slapping an 80% tax on our barley imports. But lentil producers have something to celebrate now. Why are they so happy?
Well, we found out recently that India had cut a quite steep tariff it had put on red lentils specifically. And basically in 2017, they slapped this tariff on all imports of lentils to an effective rate of 33%. And they announced in a government gazette last week that they were taking that down for Australia, well, for everyone except the US, really. It was an effective rate of 11%. So Australian lentil producers and Canadian lentil producers are the big winners from that drop.
What has this done for the price of Australian lentils?
News of the tariff drop saw the price jump up $50 in one night. So it went from something like $750 a tonne to $800 a tonne. So that's kind of like an immediate response to show that this market is open and people are keen to get the lentils that are stored here that never got to be sold over the past few years off into India.
And does this tax reduction extend to other products like chickpeas?
Lots of farmers really wish that it probably did, but unfortunately, chickpeas are the really big moneymaker in this space, especially when they can be sold into India. But that market remains shut to everything, basically, except the red lentils.
Oh, how good are lentils? And okay, now I'm thinking about them as food. Of course, this comes just after barley growers took that huge hit, effectively being taxed out of the Chinese market. Have they been able to find alternative markets yet?
I think there's still a lot of nerves about where the barley crop will go this season. Some people were lucky enough to have the time and flexibility in their programs to not put as much in after the big effect of what those import tariffs did in China was to just basically bottom the market out in terms of price. But interestingly, back in February, India said that it was keen and willing to buy a lot more malt barley. So for the higher end of that market, there was already an alternative pathway that might be even more attractive now that China's offline. But yeah, there's still a lot of nerves and jitters about the overall impact that will have on the barley price when the crop is being harvested in about 6 months' time.
Yeah, a lot of nerves, and rightly so. Hey, Clint, thanks for coming on the show.
Pleasure.
Clint Jasper is an ABC rural reporter in Victoria.